Let's go to Nehemiah. We're going to be in chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And as you turn there, we're going to begin in verse 9. And I'll just start reading. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there had come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem. I was there 3 days. And here's the part we're really going to look at. Verse 12. And I arose in the night, I and some few men that were with me. Neither told I any man what God, my God, had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, except the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night, by the gate of the valley, even before the jackals or dragon's well, and to the dung gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So I then went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not where I was, where I went, what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor the rulers, nor to the rest who did the work. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. Its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Also the king's words, which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let's go back now to verse 12 in chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And here we find this man who is, he's been mourning and weeping in front of the king of Persia, I believe, who he was the cupbearer for. And the burden on his heart was so, so great that the king noticed his countenance and how sad he was. And the Lord turned the man, the king's heart, to grant him, according to the good hand of God that was upon him, to go and to be with his people, but to be with the burnt Jerusalem. And so there's something in Nehemiah's heart that is moved by the Lord, that is moved by the Lord so deeply that even though he's not there, he's in the environment of a king of this world. He's a servant of that king in that throne room, in that worldly, if you will, environment with all of its carnal earthly issues and situations that would be so present in the daily now and now of Nehemiah's just sense realm existence. He would be hearing of it. He would be right there in the realm of that king, a king of this earth. But his heart was not part of the world or the issues of those throne rooms, of those environments, but was so wrapped up in Jerusalem, in the burnt Jerusalem, in the walls, in the city, in the crucified lamb that was laying in desolation, and so forgotten on so many fronts, so forgotten. Just a reproach. But his heart was with the Lord, was close to the Lord, was stayed upon thee, was captivated. And it's one thing to be captivated by loudness, by thunder and lightning and earthquakes and movements and revivals and things God's doing and moves of God, but to be captivated by the silence, to be captivated by the lack of, and to be attuned to something deeper and greater than the movements and motions in the earth, but the movements and motions in God's own heart, to feel his pain, to press your ear into the silence to find out what's going on with you, Lord. What are you feeling? What are you needing? Have you been forgotten? What's in your heart? What are you doing? What is this death releasing? What is it meant? Why? Why did you? How? You know, all those questions that are for him and not for us to get answers, for him to find him, to be with him, to bear with him, to minister to him. He had that heart. And the Lord gave so much favor that in verse 9 we see that the king had wrote him letters of permission to go into very hostile areas that he had to travel through to get back to Jerusalem. And, you know, I could cry just the reality of the favor that came from the Lord through foreign kings, powerful men with vicious, warlike constitutions and governments, but yet the hand of God so deeply moving in the realms of men. They are as but grasshoppers, drops in the bucket. Isaiah 40 tells us these are nothing to him. What is big to him is his crucified son being made manifest in the realms of men. You know, if we could have those kind of eyes down here. And these letters are written, and there's passage given. Verse 11 says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days, you know, and I can just hear those 3 days signifying his death, burial, and resurrection. I know that can sound like we're trying to make it spiritualize everything, but truly there was an entering into his death, his burial, and the spirit of what he wanted to raise up out of that deep death, that Nehemiah's heart truly, definitely was captivated by. And I believe through true oneness, in the sense of he entered into the Lord himself. He found him. He sought him. He sought him. And he found him. Him, the crucified, that lay in desolation. He searched him out. He pressed into him. With all his heart, he sought him. And we see that in verse 12, "And I arose in the night." He got up when most people are sleeping. He got up when it's dark, you know, and the darkness holds within it situations, problems, things that would cause us to withdraw or not seek. You know, the darkness brings, we can just tend to just want to sleep through, hide through, wait through until the light comes. But he rose up in the night, when the death pall was still upon the land, when the enemies, the jackals, the foxes, the wild beasts, still roamed in the ruins of the city, scavenging, devouring, seeking to pick the meat off the bones of the crucified. You know, the nighttime when they all come out to do what they can, to get what they can off of the crucified. Time when you don't want to be around, you don't want to encounter any of that. He got up. He got up when it might cost him, when it might be a little bit dangerous for him, not comfortable. He said, I want to go into the city, and I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell, he said, "Some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do. And I went by night by the gate of the valley." So he's like, I'm going in. I'm not searching him out. I'm not seeking to find him in this way for ministry purposes, first and foremost, for other men to see that I'm a seeker of Christ crucified, that I'm a deep searcher for him, that this is what I do, what I am, where my heart is at. You know, this was so much deeper than for any other man to ever know about. This was his relationship with God. This was his way, his intimate way with Jesus, the crucified, the Lamb. And it was for Jesus. It was for his heart. It wasn't for the hearts of men. It wasn't for the realms of men or humankind. This was his approach to his Jesus, his care for his crucified Jesus. If you will, this was him as a wife to the Lamb, not something outside of that realm. And it says in verse 13, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon or jackal's well, by the dung gate." So he's going through places now. The jackal's well, the dung gate. He's going through places where most people wouldn't want to walk through to view the walls of Jerusalem. They'd rather view the walls of Jerusalem from maybe David's palace or some other exalted and safe and glorious place to view the city. You know, they don't want to go through the place where the beasts devoured, where the Christ was crucified. They would want to go through the dung gate, you know, where the distasteful, the refuse was, the criminals, the refuse were gathered outside the camp and slaughtered, where Jesus was taken out like garbage to be removed as a foul malefactor outside the camp. We don't want to examine him there. We don't want to examine the sacrifice in those places. It's too distasteful, too. It's not glorious. But here we see Nehemiah's heart. No, I want to know you there. I want to see the city from the cross. I want to see the Lamb from within the wounds. I want to fellowship with him in his suffering. I don't want to waste this journey in to the city by viewing it as if it were finished or glorious. Or I want to see the one by whom this whole thing will be rebuilt. I want to gather the essence of that one in me, eat the flesh of, drink the blood of, breathe the spirit in of him, so that we can build these walls properly out from his death. Burnt stones that partook of his spirit came out from him, bone of his crucified bones, stone of his stone, flesh of his flesh. We want to build the wall out from him. Living stones, burnt yet living by the crucified spirit that they examined and ate and were not ashamed to partake of. But he's the first one in. He's the leader. And as such, he is partaking of the true view of Jesus, of the crucified, of the way anything is meant to be built, from whence it all rises. He sees. Verse 14, "Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool." Now he's going deeper into the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool. He's seeing these things, but notice he didn't just start at the gate of the fountain or the king's pool. He passed through the jackal's well and the dung gate to truly understand the essence of the king and of the fountain. Where does all this life come? Where does the enthroned one come from? It's a slaughtered lamb that's on the throne in the king's gate. It's a slaughtered lamb that has rivers of living water pouring out of his wounds, out of his wounded side. He is the source of the fountain. He is the one on the throne as king. And there's no place in these for the beast to pass. The beast can't go to that fountain and to that gate. That death has to occur so those clean places can be filled with the water, crystal clear, that is the Lamb nature, pouring out of that eternal spirit that gave itself so utterly. Verse 15, "Then when I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered the gate of the valley, I returned." So in 15, we just, this in tremendous, intimately personal, private viewing and seeking and searching and walking through. If you could say that Christ crucified is a city that we can walk through. He walked through him. He walked through him. He looked from all different angles. He viewed, he drank in with his eyes, he took in with his heart, he partook of with his spirit. He took him in. And then he returned. And the rulers knew not where I'd went or where I'd been. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the rulers or the rest who did the work. But I did say to them, you see, verse 17, you see, the distress we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned. Come, let us build up the wall. And he comes, beckoning them, encouraging them, inviting them to build up the wall. But he's coming from this heart. He's coming from this deep approach where he's smitten, he's stricken, he's eat up with, consumed with. Not just a burden to do something, to produce a wall, to build a wall. God's hand is on us. Let's do it. Let's get her done. Let's make it happen. Let's gather together and just get it. We know how to build. Let's build. He's not gathering the builders. He's not trying to encourage the ministers. This man is broken open on the inside a thousand different ways over one thing and one thing only, just like David. I have desired you. I'm a man after your heart, Christ crucified. I see you. And if we lay one hand to the plow or the sword to build this wall, it is going to be hands that are dripping with your blood, that are with hearts that are eat up with being with you as a wife to the Lamb, to know you in your suffering and fellowship with you in your death, and to out from that spirit let something rise up, be built out of that spirit and that spirit alone. This is how he gathered. This is the spirit he came back to them. And when I believe when God saw that spirit on Nehemiah, in the very same way he saw that spirit on Mary of Bethany, the Lord said, it's a good work. It's a good work. Verse 18, then I told them the hand of my God was, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. Leave her alone. She hath desire to do a good work unto me. You know, and Randy shared on this when he shared on Mary of Bethany in the Nehemiah session. It's a good work. It's the same spirit that Mary of Bethany had. It's that memorial ministry heart that says, we're not just building. We're not just doing a compassionate ministry project for the temple and its people. This is something that we're pouring over the crucified body of the Lamb. Every nail, every brick, every piece of this wall, it is not just a construction. This thing has to do with us being smitten with the Lamb, one with the Lamb, his. And every stone, everything that we build will carry within it that essence and that spirit. And it will be so glorious to the Father. It will be so eternal, an eternal memorial, an eternal ministry. Something well beyond this generation, back over 2,000 years ago. Something that will continue on in our hearts today as we partake of that very same spirit and come together to bring forth that very same heart and be built up as his body in that way. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, the Lamb. We thank you for his death. We thank you for entrance into his death, where we can literally walk through the walls of him as our city, partake of him, his death, his flesh, his blood, breathe in his essence, and be so filled that we can build according to the pattern the pattern we saw in his heart, our true mount, Lord, the Lamb himself, the crucified one. So, Lord, be glorified. Let our hearts come to you, seek you, search you out in the Spirit and in this way. Oh, for your sake, Jesus, for your sake, we do love you, and we seek you. We desire you, Lord, even in the night watches, even as David did, even as Nehemiah did. Lord, we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen.